Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now, coming up on the show, we talk to Dan Collins of the China Money Report. But first, President Donald Trump was in China, where he said that he doesn't blame China for taking advantage of the U.S. on trade. What? He said what? Stacy?
Well, it's certainly a lot different from the message he gave on the campaign trail, but his more conciliatory message in China was met with great adulation and adoration, I might say. He also announced $250 billion worth of trade deals. They could be MOUs. But the finance minister did come out right after Trump left for Vietnam. He did say, oh, we're going to relax the regulations on foreigners owning financial services companies here in China. So there's some sort of progress made. But I'm going to show you how much the Chinese media and people loved the message that Trump delivered. Uncle Trump finds fans in China. This is from the New York Times, and it says, they call him Donald the Strong. They heap praise on his family. They fawn over his rapid-fire tweets. They have even created an online fan club. In America, President Trump faces a feisty press corps, damaging investigations into associates and sagging approval ratings. But in China, where Mr. Trump arrived last Wednesday, he has acquired a legion of admirers who hail him as a straight-talking politician and a business mogul with a knack for deal-making.
Yeah, I wish I could get English-speaking Chinese TV more readily here in the U.S. So I get, you know, what's going on around the world. And some of the parody and the satire of Trump here gets tiresome because it's the same week after week. Wouldn't it be great if we could have more readily accessible Chinese, English-speaking Chinese news? I think that would be fantastic. And, you know, the Chinese are wealth fetishists, you know, since they went pseudo-capitalist. They're making up for decades of kind of shared socialism and whatnot. So they're really going for it with gusto. They love the trinkets and the whole capitalist motif.
Yes, the article does talk to many people in the streets of Beijing, and they find that this is the case. They love his business acumen and that he's a businessman. But they refer to him as Uncle Trump, Grand Commander, and Donald the Strong. After Mr. Trump's visit to the Forbidden City on Wednesday with President Xi, one fan wrote on social media, long live Emperor Trump. Mr. Trump's Chinese fans praise his irrepressible style, his skill as an entertainer, and his willingness to say what he thinks. Many also like the fact that he seems less inhibited than previous American presidents about recognizing China as a superpower and as an equal on the global stage. I think, you know, what you're seeing globally is kind of a backlash against that neoliberal third way nothingness that comes out of the mouths of most politicians. It's all this like gooey advertising speak that amounts to nothing for the ordinary person. And I think they like to see, you know, he might be a madman, but he's honest.
Yeah. Consultant speech that they're all versed in. You know, David Cameron was great at it. Theresa May, the British politicians are very good at it. Every question is answered with a reframing, you know, so you can say, hey, Theresa May, how come Brexit is a total disaster? And she'll say, well, what I am meant to understand in that context is that within our trade views and globally, we're seeing that our partners understand more about our objectives. Oh, thank you, Theresa May. That was very informative.
Well, and I'll have one little more quote here, and then we'll turn to Dan Collins of the China Money Report, because he's American, he lives in Shanghai, and he's got a front row view to what's happening there. But after years of American presidents lecturing China on issues like political prisoners and democracy, many also say they are relieved to see a leader who seems to care more about making deals than idealism. Which, of course, reminds me of early America. The founding fathers did say that, you know, trade with all countries, entangling alliances and enemies with none. So let's turn to Dan Collins. He's there. We've talked to you many times about China emerging as a great superpower. How does the what you see on the ground jive with what we're saying here that the New York Times is talking about Uncle Trump?
No, I absolutely see that. I'm quite surprised the U.S. media has portrayed it that way. What is interesting now is you see the U.S. president's getting more respect in China than he gets in the United States. I mean, it's a real bizarre situation, but they do love Trump here. And I think, as you just pointed out, it's the main reason is he's bringing up issues the United States has with the trade deficits and trade practices. He's not lecturing them on made-up human rights cases and things like that, trying to tell them how to run their country, which has been the normal operations of the U.S. government.
Dan, I'm really serious about this point. I mean, when you turn on the news, you have three or four major broadcasters, and they're locked into this echo chamber of talking points that they repeat ad nauseum. I mean, wouldn't it be great to be able to see CBS, NBC, and CCTV, or Phoenix TV? These are Chinese English-speaking outlets. And you can watch English-speaking Chinese presenters talk about Trump and China and the fact that he is extremely popular in China. So why is this barricade against foreign media in America? What, you're American, you live in China. Why is America being blockaded from news, Dan? Yeah.
Well, the very, very simple reason when, you know, the social media, the news that broke a few years back about how the American tech companies were embedded with the U.S. intelligence agencies, all of the data from Facebook, Google going right back into NSA servers, China couldn't handle that. So they literally banned these guys, Googles, the Facebooks. At the same time, it's trade protectionism. They wanted to let an umbrella of their own social media companies grow, which has happened. And, you know, they rival all the major tech companies today and even surpass them in some areas. You know, the Tencents, the Alibabas, the, these kinds of companies, which are really extremely good social media technology. But that's the main reason is the blockade on news and a lot of things they find disrespectful. I think the actual blockade of the news doesn't really work. I mean, most people here get all the news they want. They know everything. It's not like people are living behind a wall. Most Chinese use VPNs themselves to circumvent the Great Firewall of China anyway. So it's just when you openly have a bunch of rude stuff on China, that's what they don't like to see. And as I mentioned, the intelligence issue is probably, I think, the main one.
Of course, it was also announced this week that, I guess, Huawei, I don't know how you pronounce that, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but there's a movement by many in political circles in the U.S. to basically ban them from entering the U.S. market or buying up U.S. companies for fear that the Chinese are going to be spying on Americans. What do you say to that?
Well, yeah, and you did a really good job with Huawei, by the way, so that was good. This Huawei is connected at the very highest end of Chinese intelligence networks, so there's probably reason to actually be worried about them in some situation. Huawei has successfully gone into other countries and are pretty prevalent in Canada and Australia and other areas. So, but yeah, I mean, in terms of technology, you know, and Donald Trump, what he's telling China in this visit too, is that things have got to get reciprocal. We can no longer be the mark in the poker game here in terms of trade. All of our technology companies are blocked. Why don't we block their technology companies? They have 40% duties against us on our products. And then when Donald Trump mentions, hey, we're going to have duties against you, the U.S. media treats it like it's a trade war. You know, this U.S. media, which is East Coast based, and you know, these guys live in their bubbles in Washington, D.C. and feed off the country. Why everything between California and Washington, D.C. has been let to rot for 30 years. And that's where Trump, that's why they don't understand Trump's America.
It's interesting because the amount of, I guess you could call it propaganda that needed to keep this narrative going that there are no other countries outside of America. It's like that old New Yorker cartoon looking out over Manhattan. You get to the Hudson and then you see a little spire from Chicago and then nothing. You know, this is the mentality that's still in place. And sadly, it's very damaging at this point, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And the people I know that come to China are shocked now. I mean, really, America looks like a third world country compared to China. I mean, it's not everywhere, but it's, you know, there's some press getting out there today how some Chinese cities have the GDP of countries. You know, there's cities here with 5, 6, 7 million people, highly automated, industrialized, and nobody's ever heard of them. So the economy here is just, you know, I've been here 20 years. It's just been really something to see. And at the same time, my home country just continues to let all the jobs go and let unfair trade practices continue to wear to the point where everybody's, you know, left. You either get money from the Fed or you get money from the government in handouts.
What you said about Chinese citizens circumventing the Great Firewall of China was quite interesting because it's weird to watch the MSNBC or CNN, and they do have a very simplistic view of how simple and, you know, basically peasant-like that the rest of the world is compared to America, and that America is Uncle Sam that needs to protect everybody in the world. So you're saying that they're able to access the news. When we travel around the world, we find that despite what many in the U.S. who don't travel, you know, many Americans don't travel, so they only rely on what Rachel Maddow, who never seems to leave New York City, that somehow she has some expertise in the world. I was surprised to learn this week, for example, I had never known this, but Saudi Arabia, where they also have a lot of censors and harsh restrictions against free speech, that's the number one country in the world for YouTube viewing and uploading and content, which I had no idea. So news is able to get out, but news doesn't come back this way. So, you know, one thing I was also struck about, I saw it on YouTube, was actually, I think it was on one of the South China Morning Post, and they had a video of Arabella, Donald Trump's granddaughter, speaking fluent Chinese and singing very charmingly a Chinese song. That wasn't covered here. You know, in terms of the fact that the U.S. president is supposed to be a diplomat, they're our chief diplomat as well as the head of the military, but they're the chief diplomat. And, you know, it seems like that's something you would want, something like that, to be charming our number one economic rival.
Absolutely. That video, in fact, I wanted to mention the video of Trump's granddaughter singing the song in Chinese. That went all over WeChat. Everybody was talking to me about it, saying how much they liked her. And I think that was like literally she stole the show. That was one of the biggest things that came out of the visit. And it was in terms of soft power and building friendships. That was, you know, that was huge.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I hadn't even heard of it. And apparently it's globally viral video. It's just very frustrating to live in the United States now, because you are really, every dystopian nightmare that we've been told exists outside of America is apparently describing America. And it's quite frustrating, because talking to you here now, I'm thinking, wow, once again, I have a desire to do some traveling abroad, because living here, it's extremely provincial.
Well, you guys need to come to China, and I'll show you around. I think I know you've been to Hong Kong, and I don't know if you came to Shanghai, but I think I could take a few places that would blow your mind. So.
Now, let's talk quickly in the last minute and a half here about the actual content of the trade deals announced. $250 billion worth of deals. And also, we saw right after Trump left, we saw that the Minister of Finance in China announced the loosening of restrictions on foreigners owning banks. This surely seems like some sort of progress. What do you make of these?
Yeah, I think, so some good results from the meeting, but Trump also did hint that, look, we're in for a trade fight. We have to balance things out. We cannot have everyone else have 40% duties against us and 2% duties when we ship the parts back into the U.S. I mean, I've lived through this. I've seen this. China, they use customs as warfare. They will block things until you localize it, until you produce it and you create Chinese jobs. They are way ahead of the game of U.S. politicians. U.S. politicians spent 7 years negotiating TPP. It's this huge multi-regional trade deal, which nobody will follow anyway. Japan, Korea, China, these are mercantilist nations. They don't abide by free trade or contract. You get them to sign a document, and they say, here, I'll sign it, go away. And then they're going to do what's best for their own country. Made in China 2025, the big policy of the national government is to basically create everything else that they still can't do. Commercial airplane today was the first maiden flight for the airplane C919 that will compete with Boeing 737 and the Airbus. They're trying to replace Qualcomm and other companies in chips. $250 billion government money going into that. So U.S. politicians need to wake up and realize you're not playing in a pure capitalist game. This is state capitalism against what we're doing. And if we don't, we're going to continue to bleed jobs and bleed in huge international trade deficits until we get these things fixed. And I think Trump has the right idea on that.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Dan Collins of the China Money Report. Until next week. Bye, y'all.